If you have your Bible, turn with us tonight to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. While you're turning there, let me just read something. The Lord brought my heart today for some reason. I don't know why. But He just burned this in my heart. And I turned over and was looking at it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Wow. And then there was light. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible says this. Now, I don't know why the Lord laid this on my heart today, but I'm just going to read it to you. It says, "But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren." Amen. Lord brought that to my heart. I don't know who it's for. I just wanted to read it to you tonight. Amen. Sometimes we just have to take wrong. Amen. As children of God. Sometimes we're not going to get an apology. Sometimes people may not even realize that they've done something to hurt our feelings. Sometimes we just have to take wrong and go on for the glory of God. Amen. Ask Him to forgive us, give us a forgiving heart so that He can forgive us. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Bible says this. Now if you want to turn in your book, little booklet, we're going to look tonight at, we're going to skip over a little bit, we're going to go to lesson 12 in your booklet. Lesson 12. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. Everybody got a booklet? Okay. If you have your place, stand with honor in reading of God's Word as we read the text tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. He said, "But the Bible says, 'But evil man and seducer shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.'" Now that thoroughly furnished means to be fully equipped. Amen. Let me read that verse 16 one more time. It says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Amen. You may be seated. I want to ask you tonight, how many of you believe that this is the Word of God? Amen. Amen. How many believe that it's inerrant Word of God? In other words, there's no error, that it's the truth. How many believe it's the truth? Amen. You believe it's the truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good. Now, the Bible says here that He said these deceivers, and He said they're coming in, evil men and then seducers, waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I want to say tonight, let's not be deceived. Let's not be one of the ones that's deceived tonight, because we're not to be deceived. Paul said He wants us to know, amen, that we wouldn't be ignorant, brethren. That we would have the knowledge to know, praise God, the purpose and plan and the will of a holy and righteous God. So we have the intelligent design that God give us. He give us the Word, praise God, so we can take it intelligently and make wise decisions. Amen. And He says that the Holy Scriptures, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we know that all the Scriptures that we have, they come from God. Is that correct? Amen. All Scripture comes from God. It's God. In other words, it's inspired. It's God-breathed. Amen. It comes from the Lord. Okay, having said that, let's begin in our lesson this evening and just see what God has to say. R.C., he starts out and says, "Train them with a constant fear of overindulgence." Training up our children with a constant fear of overindulgence. Now, what does it mean to be overly indulgent? It means to give free permission. Amen? To allow them permission, freely, to do whatever they will. A lack of restraint or control. Amen? That's what it means. In other words, it's to just cut loose and lose control. Do you realize today that that's what a whole lot of us are doing with our children? We're cutting them loose and we're losing control. The Bible says that we're not supposed to do that. But He says that we're supposed to take the Scriptures, which we just agreed, everyone in here, that it's of God. It's God-breathed. And we begin to use them to raise our children. Amen? But He says that train them in a constant fear of overindulgence. Now, indulgence is not kindness or tenderness. Amen? It's not. To let them be overindulgent, it's not kind, it's not tender. It is negligence. Did you know it's negligence on our part if we overindulge our children? Amen? Say amen. It's negligent. We're negligent if we overindulge our children. If we just give them free permission to do what they will. That's negligence on our part. Did you know that according to God, if we allow them to do what they want to do all the time, that we're a negligent parent? Now, if social services come to your house and you were neglecting your children, they would haul you off, take you away. Amen? Amen. They'd carry them off if they said you was a negligent parent. But in the eyes of God, He says, if we don't instruct them in the ways of truth, in the right way, according to what God's give us, He said, then we're negligent. So what should God do with our children? He might take them away. He said, this is the one point at which you have most need to be on your guard. It is natural to be tender and affectionate towards your own flesh and blood. And it is the excess of this very tenderness and affection which you have to fear. An excess of tenderness and affection. You said, preacher, I didn't think you could love them too much. Amen? No, but the problem is that we don't love them enough. If you don't love your children enough to correct your children and teach them the right way, then you don't love them at all. You say, well, preacher, I love my kids. Well, that's not what God says. He said, if you love your children, you correct your children. He said, take heed. In other words, pay attention that it does not make you blind to your children's faults and deaf to all advice about them. Amen? When some old good godly saint, an older lady comes to you, younger lady, said, you know what? When my child was doing that, you know, this is what I done. It got to get their attention, to nurture them in the right direction. And if you shun that and push that away, you say, well, I don't need it. I know what I'm doing. Amen? We better be careful to say that we know what we're doing if we're not doing it in a godly fashion. We need to be willing to listen. He says, take heed, pay attention, lest it make you overlook bad conduct rather than have the pain of inflicting punishment and correction. I know it hurts, and I know parents. You know, you get your youngin' up, and you're going to give them a spanking, you're going to correct them, and you say, "Well, it hurts me more than it does you," and in essence, it does. It hurts. It breaks your heart to have to do that. Amen. But we have to do that because that's what God's design is. God chastens us; He corrects us, and it's our responsibility to do the same with our children. He said, I know well that punishment and correction are disagreeable things. Nothing is more unpleasant than giving pain to those we love and calling forth their tears. Amen? It's hard when you have to correct that little one and they burst out the tears and they begin to cry. But it's a worse thing whenever they cause you to cry those tears. You break out in tears because you haven't corrected them in the future. It goes on, it says, but so long as hearts are what hearts are, it is vain to suppose, as a general rule, that children can ever be brought up without correction. Now, did you get that? It's vain. It's vain to think that we can bring up our children without correction. They have to be corrected, just like me and you have to be corrected. Does not God chasten us? Does not God convict us of our sins? Does not God show us where we're going wrong? And we don't listen. Sometimes He chastens us in a rough way. Sometimes God has to lay hands on us, if you will. Amen? It's a whole lot better, praise God, when you hear what He's saying, when you hear the chastening voice of God and you obey Him. You come with a repentant heart to God and you say, look, Lord, I'm sorry, I messed up. And would You help me, forgive me, and help me to do better? Amen. Look at the next paragraph. It says, spoiling is a very expressive word and sadly full of meaning. Now, what did we say last week that spoiling is? It's something that's rotten, right? It's rotten. It's something that it means to make useless. So if he said if we're spoiling our children, an excess of spoiling, then he said, hey, we're making them rotten. We're making them useless. Amen? There's a whole lot of useless people in the world today because they've been spoiled. I tell you, that America is spoiled today. We're rotten because God has blessed us in so many ways. Amen? And we don't appreciate it at all. But he goes on and says, now it is the shortest way to spoil children to let them have their own way. Do you hear that? The quickest way, the shortest way to spoil a child is to let him have his own way and to allow him to do wrong and not to punish them for it. Believe me, you must not do it, whatever pain it may cost you, unless you wish to ruin your child's soul. In other words, to make them useless. Amen? So if we don't correct our children when they're little and start young, start early, amen, they'll be useless when they grow up. It'll be hard to get their attention at that point. And we know that God speaks truth and God can't lie. And He begins to direct our hearts in a way that we should go. The Scripture's full of the knowledge that we need to do right. Amen. God's give us that. He said, you can say that Scripture does not speak expressly on this subject. Or you cannot say that Scripture does not speak expressly on this subject. In Proverbs 13:24, he said, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. Wow. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Amen. He said, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. Did you get that? He said, if you don't use your rod of correction, yet you hate your son. You hate your children. You say, preacher, you mean if I don't spank my children, I don't love them? Bible says if you don't spank them, then you hate them. You say, well, that don't even make sense. It feels like I'm loving them. But you may be loving them in the flesh, but you're not loving them in the Lord. There's a difference. If we love them in the Lord, praise God, we can raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord in the right way. He said to train them in a way that they should go. Amen. That's a commandment of God. That's where we start with. But he said, chasteneth him by time. Now, what does it mean to chasten? Chasten means to correct, right? You correct by punishment. To inflict pain for the purpose of reclaiming the offender. That's Noah Webster. That's what Noah Webster says it is. Amen? To inflict pain for the purpose of reclaiming the offender. So he says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Now what does that betimes mean? Early. Betimes means early. Before, in other words, before it's too late. I believe on our youngins, praise God, we're waiting too late to start. We want to wait till you say, well, they're little, you know, and everything they do is kind of cute and funny. And then you let it go and you maybe even encourage these bad conduct. And then when they get to be 10, 11 years old and they look in your eyeball and telling you they ain't going to do something. Amen? Well, so he says what we need to do, we start early, betimes, early, before it's too late. He goes on and says, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare. Now listen to this, for his crying. Just because he cries, don't give in to him. Amen? You know, children learn at a very early age that they can whine and whimper and you'll come running. Amen. You don't believe me? You just take them and put them in a little bassinet and every time they whine and they whimper, you run there and grab them up and oh, 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 and give them a lot of attention. You want, hey, before you know it, you'll be sleeping with, they'll be in the bed with you. Amen. You won't be able to get them out of your, they won't be able to get out of your sight. Because they learn that at a good age. They learn that when they cry, they get your attention. Amen. And some, but he says that you don't spare for the crying. In other words, you don't give in to their crying. Just because, hey, I remember a story. I remember a story of someone told me that when they used to get chastened by their mother, that whenever they would start to whip them, that they would start crying. And when they'd start crying, then mama would let up. And then when mama let up, then they would lie. Somebody told me that. I don't know who it would have been. They thought it was funny. Amen. And they would cry and make out to get mama to let up. Amen. But we have a responsibility. You say, well, preacher, you mean we're supposed to beat them to death? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying what the Bible requires us. Now, you agreed with me when we started this, that this is the infallible Word of God. This is God's Word. And this is coming from the book of Proverbs. Amen. He goes on to say, foolishness bound in the heart of a child. We've already studied this, how that foolishness is bound up in a child's heart. But he goes on to say, but the rod of correction shall drive it from him. What will it drive from? He'll drive that foolishness from his heart. Amen. So the rod of correction is what we use to drive the foolishness out of their heart, to get them in line with what's right, according to what God says. Amen. So if they can bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and if they can train them up to go in the way that they should go. So if when they're old, praise God, we have the promise that they'll not depart from it. Amen. So we have that from the Lord. And he said, well, preacher, I don't think we ought to use this corporal punishment on our children. Amen. I don't think you ought to beat your children. Well, God says if you don't love them. He said, if you don't use the rod, you spare the rod, then you hate your son. You hate your children. Amen. Why do you think good Lord give them a little old fanny that's all padded? It ain't just to keep them comfortable when they're sitting. Amen. It's to give you a good place to use a keen hickory switch on them. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, foolish, bound hard child, and a rod of correction shall drive it from him. He said, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. He said, if you beat him with the rod, if you whip him, it won't kill him. Amen. You do it because you love him, because you're watching out for his soul. You don't want him to grow up to be some hellion out here in the world that's doing his own thing and always getting in trouble. Amen. It's because when you sell him, say, look, Johnny, no, you don't do that. And he does it again. Amen. It's your responsibility to take a little keen hickory switch. Amen. That's what a rod is, by the way. A good keen hickory switch, and use it on his little hind end. Amen. To get his attention. You say, well, preacher, I don't believe in that. Well, then you don't believe God. I thought you said that you believe God. Amen. He says, if you don't do this, if you don't do this, you don't love your child. He said, you hateth him. It goes beyond not loving him. It goes to the point of hating him. That you're not willing to do your to take your responsibility. If you don't chasten your child, the Bible says you don't love him. Amen. Amen. And I'll just say this nicely. If we're not willing to chasten our children, then we're not fit to be a parent. Now, I'm just saying it in love. Because that's why, hey, I'm just following what God said. If we're not willing to chasten our children, to give them a whipping when they need a whipping, amen, and then we're not fit to be a parent. Amen. God said it, not me. Amen. It's in the book. But he says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, that stick. I mean, that's what it is. That's what that word means, a stick. Amen? A good keen hickory switch. A good, and by the way, a good good maple switch works well too. Amen? They got a little to them. Amen? He said, thou shalt beat him with the rod, he shall not die. And thou shalt beat him with the rod and deliver his soul from hell. Now, what does it mean? You say, well, preacher, I don't believe it were to beat them. It says to beat them. Well, what does it mean to beat? You know what it means, what it literally means in this text, to beat? It means to strike, to punish, to make stripes. Amen? Christ was beaten for me and you. He took our stripes. With His stripes, we are healed. I won't say it don't hurt a thing, praise God. You take a little keen hickory and you leave some little stripes on their hind end. You say, well, preacher, that's cruelty. No, that's love. Amen. That's love. If we don't do that, then we don't love our children. You say, preacher, you're cruel. No, I'm just telling you, God says this is the way it's got to be. You know what's wrong with America today? Because we don't correct our children. We've got children that's sitting in the second, third, and fourth grade, and they're telling their teachers no, and they're telling them get out of their face, and they're telling, hey, I'm going to do what I want to do. And what can the teachers do? They sit there on their thumbs and can do nothing. Amen? Because there is no correction for a child. The Bible says a child that's left to himself will bring his mother to shame. Amen. Hey, you better think about what you're doing today, because it's going to make a difference tomorrow. Amen. The Bible goes on. He goes on here in Proverbs chapter 29. He quotes some verses. He said, "The rod and the reproof give wisdom." Now, what is reproof? What is reproof? Now, reproof is this. It's this chastening that we have with reasoning. Now, this is important. Now, listen to me. This reproof that we use on our children. Now, pay attention real close because this is important. The reproof that we use, that's chastening that we do with reasoning. In other words, when you get ready to do the chastening, when you get ready to bring out the rod, you set little Jim down, you make sure they understand why they're getting the rod. Amen? What they've done in disobedience, what they've done that's out of character, what they've done that God disapproves of, what they've done that mama and daddy as their authority told them not to do. We need to make sure, praise God, that we're giving them reproof, that we're giving chastisement, we're giving them chastening with reasoning so that they know. Amen? Hey, listen, God never chastens me and you that we don't know why. Amen? Just every time God chastens us, we know why we're getting chastened. Amen? We know why we're having to go through what we're going through. Amen? So the rod of reproof giveth wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Amen? So if you leave them to their self, you let Johnny do what he wants to do, Johnny's going to bring shame to you. He's going to bring shame to your family. He's going to bring shame to himself. And he's going to bring shame to God. But if we stay in line with God and we use the reproof, praise God, it'll give wisdom so he can grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So he can know what's right and know how to live. He goes on and says, "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give the light to thy soul." Amen? He said, if we correct our children, we correct those that we love, he said, they'll bring the light. And you know, let me say something. Correction for your children, it don't stop just because they get to be 18 years old. Amen? There's correction that needs to be going on, praise God, even after that. We can't leave them to theirself. I've had to go to both of my youngins. You can ask anybody. I've had to go to both of my youngins and say, hey, look, what you're doing is wrong. What you're doing is sinful. God does not appreciate it. Now, you're breaking my heart. You're breaking your mother's heart. It's wrong in the eyes of God. And it don't matter how old they are. If they're wrong, praise God. Hey, and we ought to do that out of brotherly love. Amen? Amen. If I see Brother Charles doing something that I know is not right according to God, it's my responsibility to go to Brother Charles in love and say, hey, brother, hey, you're going the wrong direction. Amen. And you know what? Sometimes we get caught up in the world. We get caught up in things. And it's just because of love that we need to go to one another so we don't get sidetracked. Because the devil's good at broadsiding us. Amen. Just when we least expect it, praise God, bam, he hits us. But praise God, if you got some good old brother or sister that love you, come alongside you and offering to give you a hand, praise God, to help you out of the mess that you're in before God has to do the correcting. Amen? Praise the Lord. It makes a difference. So we see the power of God in working in the Scriptures. Now this is the Word of God. It's not me. He said, how strong and forcible are these texts? How melancholy is the fact that in many Christian families, they seem almost unknown. Amen? Many Christian families. It didn't say secular. It said Christian families. These principles are unknown. And you know whose fault that is? Men like me that stand behind this blessed old sacred desk and don't have enough backbone, praise God, to say this is what God says. We compromise because we want you to feel warm and fuzzy about yourself while your children are dying and going to hell and our churches are being deserted by our children. Amen? Because we haven't got enough backbone to stand up and say, you know what? We're not going in the direction that God says we need to go. We need to back up. We need to reevaluate, praise God, and start from where we're at right now and do the best we can to be pleasing to the Heavenly Father. Amen. For His glory. I know every one of you, we've messed up. We've come short, amen, on raising our children. Every one of us can, but we can't go back, take it back. But praise God, we can start from where we're at to make a difference. Glory to God. Their children need reproof, but it's hardly ever given. They need correction, but it's hardly ever employed. You know, situations like that. You know, I'm going to give little Johnny time out. I seen a situation the other day. Little fella's riding his bicycle down the road just to getting it. And mom and daddy both told him two or three times, don't you go down there in the road. Because there's another driveway, it's a dirt road, comes by there. He said, don't you be in that road. A few minutes later, looked around and he was gone. And then they got the holler, and he was come over to the neighbor's house, down the road. So finally he come in and mama said, I told you not to go down that road. She said, if you ever do that again, I'm going to take your bicycle and get rid of it. You know what he said? You know what the little fellow said? I'm talking about 6 years old. Seven years old. He said, well, good, I don't like that one anyway. You know what he was in essence saying? He would say, Mama, go ahead and get rid of it. I know next week you'll buy me a new one. Some punishment, huh? And the little fellow had drove down a road where traffic from multiple homes was coming in and out, could have been run over, wide track, been gone that quick. But because they lack correction. Amen? When she got him back, she went after him to begin with a good keen hickory, and if she had strapped his little hind end all the way back to the house, he wouldn't have wanted to take a ride no more. Amen? Till Mama said he could. Amen? A child left to himself. God help. God help. They'll go to the wrong place. They don't know what they need. Amen? Praise the Lord. They need instruction. That our children need reproof, but it's hardly ever given. They need correction, but it's hardly ever employed. And yet this book of Proverbs is not obsolete and unfit for Christians. Now get this, it is given by inspiration of God and profitable. It is given for our learning, even as the epistles to the Romans and Ephesians. Surely the believer who brings up his children without attention to its counsel is making himself wise above that which is written and greatly errs. You know what? If somebody rose up and they say, well, you know what? I'm not going to take this. I'm not going to apply this to my child's life. I'm not going to chase them. I'm not going to whip them. I'm not going to correct them. What you're in essence saying is I know what's best for my child. I hear that all the time. That makes me so sick. I know what's best for my child. No, you don't. You don't know what's best for your child, or you would bring them up in nurture and admonition, Lord. You would chase them betimes before it's too late. But so many times, preacher, I know what I'm doing. And then they ain't, but just a little while down the road, they call you one day and say, preacher, I don't know what happened. I don't know where I went wrong. And they're up there. They got in a mess. They're up there at the jailhouse. They're over there at the hospital. I'll tell you where you went wrong. You decided to do it your best without God. And you made a mess of it. Hey, how do you know? Because I've been there. If we don't do it the way God says it, we just make a mess. Amen? What we do is we say, I know what's best, and we deceive ourselves as we read in the beginning of the text, and we make God a liar. We say, God, you don't know what I need. You don't know what my children need. If God don't know what you need and your children need, who does? Amen? God knows exactly what we need, and He puts down the principles that we need to follow. He goes on and says, fathers and mothers, I tell you plainly, if you never punish your children when they are in fault, you are doing them a grievous wrong. I warn you, this is the rock on which the saints of God in every age have only too frequently made shipwrecked. Amen? We've been made useless. And we brought up useless children because we're not willing to correct them. We're not willing to instruct them, as God says. I would fain persuade you to be wise in time and keep clear of it. See it in Eli's case. His sons Hophni and Phinehas made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. 1 Samuel 3:13. He gave them no more than a tame and lukewarm reproof. When he ought to have rebuked them sharply. Amen. You remember the story? They was up there at the temple, and they was coming, as the people were coming in, they were up there and they were meeting them at the door. Amen. 1 Samuel, let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 22. He said, Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Those are called shrine prostitutes, by the way. Amen? Those got there waiting on some poor soul coming in, needing help, and they would get them before they got into the church house. We're having the same thing today, praise God. They're intersecting our children before they get to the church house, dragging them off into the pit. He said unto them, why do you such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, it is no good report that I hear you make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. Amen? God had to deal with them. Because daddy wouldn't deal with them strong enough and say, look, you know what? You need to get down to the house. You're not fit to be up here doing what you're doing. Amen? You're not fit to be up here trying to minister in the tabernacle because of the sin that you're living in. Amen? Sometimes you have to be... forceful in what we do. To the point of you say, hey, listen, son, if you're going to live out in sin and wickedness, then you don't get in the choir and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Amen. You can't take that daughter and say, well, listen, honey, you can't get up there and sing in the choir, oh, how I love Jesus, if you're going to live in sin. Amen. Amen. You can't be partakers with the sin. Amen. Until they come forth and they get rid of that and put it behind them. And ask God to forgive them. Amen. Praise the Lord. But he said he lived to hear of the death of both his sons in battle, and his own gray hairs were brought down with sorrow to the grave. Amen. He said, see too the case of David, who can read without pain the history of his children and their sins. Amnon's incest, Absalom's murder and proud rebellion, Adonijah's scheming ambitions. Truly, these were grievous wounds for the man after God's own heart to receive from his own house. But was there no fault on his side? Now listen to this. I fear there can be no doubt there was. I find a clue to it all in the account of Adonijah in 1 Kings 1 and 6. Now listen to what this is. This says about David. His father, David, had not displeased him at any time in saying, "Why hast thou done so?" Amen. He said, David never did that. He said, "Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you going in the direction that you're going?" He never displeased him and said, "Hey, look, you know, what you're doing's wrong. Reining them in." You know, sometimes our children, they don't know what they need. They don't know what they need. We need to rein them in. Reel them in. Amen. Say, "Look, what you're doing's wrong." Amen. Call them on it. Let them know where you stand. Praise the Lord. "Why hast thou done so?" He said, there was the foundation of all the mischief. David was an overindulgent father. A father who let his children have their own way. And he reaped according as he had sown. Amen. Listen, the Bible says you sow to the wind and you reap the whirlwind. I believe that's what we've got in the world that we're living in today. We're sowing our children to the wind, and we're reaping a whirlwind. It's coming back on us with a magnitude that we can't even see. He said, "Parents, I beseech you for your children's sake, beware of overindulgence, that free permission to do what they will. See, I call on you to remember it is your first duty to consult their real interest and not their fancies and likings, to train them, not to humor them, to profit, not to merely to please." Amen. Let me say this too, while I'm right here. As we're training these children up and we're teaching them, we're disciplining them, as mothers and fathers, as grandmas and grandpas, we have to stay together on this. Amen. If one of the children is misbehaving, one of the children needs discipline, and if Mama decides to discipline that child, then Papa ought to back her. Amen. If Mama decides one of the children need to be disciplined, then Daddy needs to back her. If Daddy decides one of the children needs to be disciplined, Mama needs to back him. You have to do this together. You cannot work against each other. Because children are smart. They are smart. They learn it in just a minute of time. They realize they know that they can run to Daddy and they get by with it, or they can run to Mama and they get by with it. Hey man, but every time they get in trouble, they'll cut a track and Mama won't be able to catch them fast enough. Daddy won't be able to catch them fast enough. We have to work together. Hey, listen, Mama and Daddy, you have to stand on the front with your children, raise them up for the glory of God together. Amen. And I want to say it's not Mama's job to do it all, and it's not Daddy's job to do it all. Amen. But we need to raise them up together in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, showing them, praise God, that we love them. We do these things because we love them. Now listen to this next verse. It's very important. It said, "You must not give way to every wish and comprise of your child's mind. However much you may love him, you must not let him suppose his will is to be everything, and that he has only to desire a thing and it will be done. Do not, I pray you, make your children idols." Did you hear that? "Do not make your children idols, lest God should take them away and break your idol just to convince you of your folly." God has given you those children and He's given you a responsibility. Amen. And if we set little Johnny up and little Susie up and little whoever up and we make idols of them, God's liable to break our idol just to show us, praise God, that He's God. You say, "A preacher, that would be cruel." No, that would be God. Amen. It would be God because He give us a right way to do things. Learn to say no to your children. Boy, that's a strange word. No. Amen. You never hear say, "I don't think so. I don't think you need that. You know, maybe we can get that later." What's up with that? We ought to have enough backbone as parents when they go to get something they don't need or we can't afford. You'll say, "No, you can't have that. Leave it alone." And that ought to be a done deal. No. One. Two. Three chances of rebellion. God ain't in that. We need to say no. We need to mean no. And we need to let our children. You say, well, preacher, I've already come way down the road. Now how am I? You, by saying no and meaning it. It won't take but one or two times, and little Johnny, when you tell him no, and he goes ahead and does something, and you tan his hide with a keen hickory switch, that when you say no, you mean no. Amen? You do it in a loving way. You take him to the side, and you say, listen, I told you no, and when I say no, I mean no. And what you're doing is rebelling against me, and I will not stand for that because God told me not to. And you tan his little hide, and you know what? The next time you say no, that'll come to his mind quick, fast, and in a hurry. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. He says, learn to say no to your children. Show them that you are able to refuse whatever you think is not fit for them. They don't need it. You don't need it at this time. Amen. Show them that you are ready to punish disobedience, and that when you speak of punishment, now listen to this, that when you speak of punishment, you're not only ready to threaten, but also to perform. Don't tell you, I'm going to give you a whipping. If you do that one more time, I'm going to give you a whipping. Do you want a whipping? Of course they do, right? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard a parrot ask. Do you want a whipping? Sure. Why not? Give me two while you're at it. How stupid. But we do it. What are we doing? We're pacifying the child. We're giving them opportunities to sin, to be disobedient. See, I wish somebody would have took me by the hair of the head when I was a young married person and showed me these things so I could have done it right. But I did. I've done the one, two, three, three and a half. Because I didn't know. Nobody loved me enough to show me how to do it right. But you know what? God loved us enough to show us how to do it right. Amen? He said, do not threaten too much. Threaten folks and threaten faults. Live long. Well, that's a good statement, isn't it? Threaten folks and threaten faults. Live long. But now listen to this. Now this is important right here. Punish seldom. Did you get that? Punish seldom, but really and in good earnest. Frequent and slight punishments is a wretched system indeed. Did you get that? He said, when you need to punish them, he said, punish them earnestly. When you tell them no and they're disobedient, when you ask them to do something and they refuse, you punish them. You punish them and let them know that you mean it. So the next time when you say, hey, listen, honey, take the trash out. They don't say, well, my. They get the trash and they take the trash out. Amen. You say, well, preacher, you're just being mean. No. Why should we expect any less from our children than from us, ourselves? We have chores. We have things we have to do all of our lives. And if we don't train them up to do things now, they'll never know how. That's what's wrong with America. If you haven't got a list of chores for your child to do every day when they come in school, well, then shame on you. My mother, when I come in school, I played football. My brother played football and basketball. My sister was in the band. And when we come in from school, if we didn't hit our chores wide open and get the house clean, the dishes done, and my sister didn't get the clothes washed, then we didn't go. Mom said, hey, we didn't get the chores done, so we're going to stay here and do them. Amen? And they wasn't, no, well, Mom, you don't know my mama. They wasn't, well, no, Mom, you don't understand. She said, no, we're not going. And guess what? We didn't go. They wasn't no begging and pleading with her, because if you did, she'd take you in your room and give you a whipping for not having them done to begin with. If she didn't give you one first and then make you do your chores. Amen? We had responsibilities. And I thank God for it. I think it made us better people. Because of the things that she taught us to do. Amen. It taught me to respect my little mama. Amen. When she said, you know, this is the way it's got to be, that's the way it had to be. But my little mama loved us. And you know, my little mother, she never whipped us much. Because when she said something, she meant it. And we knew it. See, if you love your child, amen, and you don't spare the rod, and you give with good counsel, praise God, you use that on them, I mean, whenever it's necessary. They learn in a hurry that you love them, and when you say something, that you mean what you say. See, they're not the parent. These children are not the parent. We're the parents. And the grandparent. And when we speak, listen, we need to learn to teach our children respect. We need to teach the children to love us because we're trying to love them. Amen? Trying to do what's right. But he said, punish them seldom, but really and in good earnest. Frequent and slight punishment is a wretched system indeed. You know what the main thing is? And I wish I could go back and do it. You know what was my biggest problem? Was inconsistency. Amen? Right, parents? We're not consistent. We'll say no this time and we'll get upset and we'll discipline, but next time we'll tell them no and we'll let it go and we'll let it go. And we need to be consistent in our instruction. Amen? Because if we're not, we're sending our children all these mixed signals. So they get, you know what they start doing? They get to filling us out. They run up their little antennae. You know, they're little aliens anyway, I believe. They run up our little antennae and they scan out to see just to kind of mood you're in whether you're going to really correct them today or not. And buddy, it don't take them but just a second to realize what temperament you're in. How much they can get by with today. Amen. They do it. They're good at it. Like little con artists. But we have to be consistent in our dealing with them. And you know, we need to take a moment, think about what we say. And when we say no, we mean no. You say, well, preacher, you know, we got to give them room to go out and make their own decision, make their own choices. Yeah, when little Johnny takes off wide open down the road, he jerks his hand out of yours, takes off down the road and runs out into the freeway, then it'll be too late. We need to have it where, Miss Karen, where when we say stop, they stop right where they're at. I was reading an article a while back, and I forget who was the author. And he said he was walking down through. They had been to an ice cream store, and they had his little boy by the hand, and they had her ice cream in her hand, and they were going down through eating ice cream. And said as they went around the turn there, and they started out towards the street, said the little boy jerked away from him, took off, and said car traffic was coming wide open. The light was green, and they was just, and the little boy run right to the edge of that thing. And we said his daddy said it's, he said called his name, said stop. And said, when I screamed stop, he said he stopped in his tracks just like you'd roped him. And he said, boy, I thought within myself, thank God for godly instruction. When I said stop, he stopped immediately. Amen. What if it had been one of them that was inconsistent? He said, stop! And he looked back, ha, ha, ha! Went on out in the street, he could have been killed. See, sometimes I don't think we realize how serious this thing of raising children is. You say, well, what do you mean, Pastor? I mean, well, a lot, just about every day in our life with our children, these little things that come up in our life that could be life or death, that could make a difference in them. Because remember, we're watchers for the souls. We're watchers for their souls. Amen. So beware of letting small faults pass unnoticed under the idea of it is a little one. There are no little things in training children. All are important. Little weeds need plucking up as much as any. Leave them alone and they will soon be great. Now listen to this. Last paragraph. Reader, if there be any point which deserves your attention, believe me, it is this one. It is one that will give you trouble, I know. But if you do not take trouble with your children when they are young, they will give you trouble when they are old. Choose which you prefer. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go. If we don't start now, train them on the way that they should go, they're going to go in the way that they want to go. And we can't have that. I think we've already had two generations that's took that path. It's time to rein them in. It's time to take control. It's time to get our children back. Amen, from the brink of destruction. It's time to call upon the Lord for His mighty power, for His help. Amen. And do it because we love Him. And do it do it because God says so. Amen. When we began the message tonight, we said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Amen. Profitable. Do you still believe that tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And if God said it, God don't lie. So what we have to do is we have to take the information God gives us. And you know, even though we may be a little squeamish about doing what we need to do, we got to realize that if we don't do what we need to do as far as chasing our children, as far as using the rod of correction, that we don't love them. Amen. If you leave your child to himself, then you don't love him. Amen. But it's time to take them back. Say, I love them. Amen.